good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. Howling for Wolves will be having Jen Hewitt for October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the at Hopkins, and they invite you to come join. Check out howlingforwolves.org to find full event for information.
Well, Ogama, we're like on a skeleton crew here right now. we'll have Wendy later on for her sacred animal section, and we have Bob Blake from Red Lake. I just love saying that. But Bob Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he always comes up with some great positive solar information and Green New Deal stuff that we love all over Indian country. And what Indian country and what the world basically is doing with solar and renewables. And that's what we're all about here. And I just want to say Ogama is going to speak here, and she does the news, and you don't hear this news anywhere else, and we're really, really proud to present this every day. And so without any further ado, let's go to Ogama with the news.
Hi, Annie Bujo, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. As always, happy to be here with you today with the news, even though the news isn't always so happy. We're a little less than 2 weeks away until the start of the most important climate talks since Paris. The Glasgow climate talks are happening in Glasgow, Scotland, coming up here in just a little bit less than 2 weeks. I did make a post earlier today on behalf of great-grandmother Mary Lyons, who is looking to go to Glasgow and is looking to fundraise a little bit. So if you have anything to spare for a great voice that is going to be going on behalf of Indigenous people to the Glasgow Climate Summit, please take a moment to pop over to Native Roots Radio on Facebook and give a little donation for great-grandmother Mary Lyons. Last week in the U.S. Capitol, it was a heck of a week. Over 5 days, 655 people were arrested. It was the largest wave of climate disobedience in nearly a decade, and this is as reported by the Stop the Money Pipeline. However, youth activists were not totally satisfied with that and are actually organizing a fossil-free future day of action coming up on October 29th. You can find an event near you on stopthemoneypipeline.org. There's events happening in New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Boston, and more. The actions on October 29th are youth-led and youth-centered, so we want to make sure that we are listening to our youth. And in news of the Line 3 pipeline, this was something that I seen pop up today from Tara Hauska of the GNU Collective. If you want to get into the movement and you have legal experience, they are calling for criminal lawyers to assist Line 3 water protectors. If you're interested in defending the brave folks who are fighting for the water and the planet and our children, there's funding available to make that happen. The Center for Protest Law and Litigation has stepped up to manage a fund paying for lawyers' fees. It is available at protestlaw.org/line3. You can find out more and get involved by going to bit.ly/line3lawyer. And that would be the bit.ly/line3lawyer to find out more information about onboarding. So it looks like if you're not barred, if you don't have your bar in Minnesota, you can go through something called ProHack is the comments on here, because that looks like that was the first question that was posted. So Any of you lawyers who might be listening, we need you on the front lines of Line 3 to help defend our land defenders. So, Robert, do you know anybody in the legal field?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. Quite a few people. I'd have to send a list, but they're all pretty busy doing legal stuff, so I don't know.
Right, exactly. In news of the Line 5 in Wisconsin, a Wisconsin environmental group, the Midwest Environmental Advocates, have submitted a formal request to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and they're asking the DNR to require Enbridge Energy to provide more detailed information about how it's planned to construct a new segment of Line 5 in northern Wisconsin will impact the region's wetlands and waterways. Is this sounding eerily familiar to what happened in Minnesota, anybody?
Yeah, definitely. If I'm anybody, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so the the Midwest Environmental Advocates chapter joined with the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin chapter of the Sierra Club and 350 Madison, and you know we love 350 over here. MN350 does some great work, and 350 groups all over the country are doing great work, so I'm really excited to see 350 Madison. Shout out to you for getting involved with that. Apparently, in Wisconsin, Enbridge has applied for a general stormwater permit for a construction project that would allow for them to continue operating the Line 5 pipeline in environmentally sensitive areas, including the Bad River, Lake Superior, and Lake Michigan watersheds. Given the scale of the project, it could cause significant harm to many waterways, and it's not unreasonable that they are asking the DNR to request them to obtain a different permit or to provide more information and a higher level of scrutiny. I mean, look at what's happening in Minnesota. Enbridge is currently overdue as of, I believe, the 15th, so a full 5 days overdue on their cleanup from the Clearbrook spill, where they tapped into an aquifer by deliberately drilling deeper than they should have. So these are not unreasonable things that people are asking for in Wisconsin, and we hope that you keep up the good fight to have our natural rights be heard. Another really quick thing here, back in Minnesota and Minneapolis, the New York Times featured the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis. It's behind a paywall, so I haven't gotten to read it. If anybody wants to share their New York Times subscription with me, that'd be great. But it's titled, In Minneapolis, a Thriving Center for Indigenous Art. The 8-block American Indian Cultural Corridor celebrates Native American art and commerce. And it was so cool to see that article come up. Robert Lilligren, who usually joins us on Thursdays, mm-hmm. Was the one who posted it. So my good to you, Robert, for tipping me off to that. That's so exciting. I maybe might have to do like a free trial of the New York Times.
Well, he also is on the cover of the picture of the cover, too.
Oh, he's on the image? I can't.
And he was interviewed, too. So,
I'm going to pay for it, I think. That's totally worth it for me. So if I end up with a subscription to NYT, it's Robert Lilligren's fault. I blame it.
Just share the password with me.
Yep. And then I don't want to put this at the end to negate the importance of it. But as of October 20th of 2021, known deaths at Indian schools on Turtle Island are 7,262 plus. In Canada, across Canada, and different parts of the United States, they're finding the bodies of children who were murdered at residential and boarding schools in the U.S. and Canada. And I did hear one report that there's only one listed from Nez Perce County in Idaho, but I did see somebody comment that they believe that there are more that were actually found on the Nez Perce before this infographic from Every Child Matters came out. So the search is continuing, and more and more people are calling for these schools to be held accountable and to have their grounds searched. And we're hoping that the churches that ran these, as well as the governments that funded the churches to run these schools, may take some sort of responsibility.
Hey, Ogama, guess where I'm going tonight?
You're going to go over to, I believe it's First Avenue, and see the Hallucination?
That's right. Formerly called the Tribe Called Red, and that's who's playing right now. They are now the Hallucination, and they'll be at the Cedar And I'll be meeting up with my daughters, and we'll be rocking, and I'm bringing my earplugs. Up next, give us a call. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. You can get involved at mn350.org, and I figure I'll throw it out here. MN350 is looking for an executive director. You can check out their social media, I believe on Facebook and Twitter, for more information on how to apply, if that's something that you might be qualified or interested in doing. Also, is it Matt McNeil's birthday today? Is that what I heard from a little bird? Happy birthday to Matt McNeil. He runs the Progressive Citizen X / Matt McNeil show that comes on just ahead of ours. And he gives us a shout out nearly every day. And I know he listens to our show nearly every day as well. So happy birthday, Matt. I hope you had a great day and you got to eat some cake or something.
Exactly. Hey, I want to read this quick thing here. On the cedar.org, but it's the Cedar bars that we're going to tonight. The Cedar Culture Center, I'm sorry. It's at 416 Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis, and they're going to be the Hallucination there, and I'm going, and it's an awesome show. And here's just a little tidbit about them. The Hallucination, as they enter a new cycle, bear witness to Tim Hill of the Tribe Called Rabbit are reintroducing themselves as the Hallucination to reflect the evolution of their music and mission. The Hallucination takes the name from a phrase coined by John Trudell to describe the vast global community of people who remember their core and what it means to be human. As a visionary artist and activist, Trudell recognized the connection between his accomplishments and what ATCR did through their music and art. So that's going to be exciting tonight. Again, if you want to chime in and talk to us, 952-946-6205. Ogama, I think what we're going to be going up against here very soon is PolyMet. And I'm really concerned about that, and are concerned about Biden, concerned about walls and how they're going to deal with that. So, you know, have you heard anything new about or anything happening with PolyMet up there?
You know, I haven't heard too much about PolyMet. I do have a list right here in front of me, though, about Twin Metals, which is moving to do mining in the Boundary Waters. So our friends, the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness Site, do a weekly, sometimes even daily, update on protecting the Boundary Waters on the northern border of Minnesota. So for over a decade, Twin Metals has been trying to build and operate a toxic copper sulfide mine, and I believe that's the same type of mine that PolyMet is looking to do over by Duluth. Is that right, Robert?
If you Twin Metals owns PolyMet.
Does Twin Metals own PolyMet? And these are synonymous?
One and the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, so here in front of me, I do have seven ways that the Twin Metals Boundary Waters mine would be a disaster. Number one, copper mining is an environmental catastrophe waiting to happen. Minnesota has a long history of iron mining, but no copper sulfide mine has ever opened up in the state of Minnesota. Copper sulfide mining has a near perfect record of actually polluting surrounding water systems. Twin Metals would be producing sulfuric acid, which is the exact same as battery acid, and it's all but guaranteed that acid mine drainage would leak into the surrounding water tables and spread out through the Boundary Waters canoe area, which contaminates some of the cleanest, freshest water in the country. Reason number two, we need water more than we need copper. This is something that we talk about on Native Roots Radio all the time.
Yep.
Water is our most precious natural resource, and it cannot be replicated. Minnesota is home to an abundant amount of clean water, which is becoming increasingly rare in the world. And with major drought being an issue, the country is going to be going into a fresh water crisis, and it's more important than ever to protect our clean water to drink and not to risk it on a toxic industry. Number three is corporate dealings. The story of Twin Metals mineral leases is complex, but worth understanding, and it reveals the corrupt influence Twin Metals has had on our politics. Twin Metals only has the mineral leases because they got them illegally. Apparently in 2016, after extensive study and input from the public, the U.S. Forest Service refused to consent to renew Twin Metals leases. The reason was that it was too great of a risk, and a copper sulfide mine next to the Boundary Waters could cause irreparable harm. The leases were then allowed to expire. Shortly after this, Trump came into office, and they began lobbying. So a billionaire owner of Antofagasta bought a mansion in Washington, D.C., and rented it to the Trump family. And it looks like this led to the Trump administration reversing the decisions to let the leases expire. And by reviving and renewing the lease, the administration rolled out the red carpet for another foreign-owned corporation to disguise those actions. So now the Biden administration can nullify this error and write what was clearly a mishandling of the law and legal process under the Trump administration. However, I don't think that Biden's going to do that without all of us raising our voices about this. Right, Robert?
Yeah. I mean, here we go again. You know, it's an ongoing battle. And I think one of the things we always talk about, too, Ogama, is how it affects brown people. You know, how these pipelines, again, we wouldn't, you know, I talk about this a lot, but Wendy and I wouldn't have this show if it wasn't for what happened in Standing Rock. And Standing Rock, basically, they wanted to put the pipeline through Bismarck, and they said, oh, no, pipes leak. We don't want it going through our city. And they put it through Standing Rock Reservation instead. And we went there and protested peacefully three or four times, and that's how Wendy and I really started this show almost 4 years ago. And it's daunting, and it's a never-ending attack on BIPOC people with these major corporations. And it's just if you look at the history. I mean, look at the history of the beginning of over 500 years ago when they came to this land and slaughtered Native Americans, and just to move west and steal gold and all those things that I was never taught in high school or grade school, and I don't think too many people are teaching that now. But you know what I mean, Ogama. It's just been a long, horrendous history and an attack on brown people and especially Native Americans in this country.
I agree with you 100%, Robert. And it's true that generally people of color, especially indigenous people, when it comes to these types of toxic projects, are affected first and they're affected the worst. However, we all need to remember that we all need water to drink. I mean, these companies obviously don't care too much for Native American rights or the people that they're harming as far as Native people go. However, that's not going to stop them from trampling on the rights of other people. So we can talk, you know, first and worst always for Native people and also generally first on the front lines to stop these types of projects because we know how that feels. But if we don't get our allies truly on board with us, Robert, it's going to be them next. I mean, these companies do not care. They're just going to continue to steamroll the environment and humanity to get their projects through to make money that they can't take with them and can't use to buy water because it can't be recreated.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's just, you know, and another thing, too, I just want to bring up, too, and we got only a couple minutes left before we go to break and have Solar Bear with the Solar News. But Halloween, let's talk about that for a second, too, now that we're free throwing, is Halloween. And I still, when I look on Facebook Market for things, I still see Indian costumes for sale. And what that does to a young person that's Native American and what it does to their psyche and self-esteem is just shattering to me, Ogama. And you have a little one, and it's just got to be just hard to watch their faces when they see some kind of that kind of thing right in their face.
Yeah, we've been fortunate so far that my daughter hasn't come across very much of that in the store. But, you know, her first couple of years in school, they did do the pilgrim hats and Indian feathers for Thanksgiving. And she came home very small. I think this was preschool and kindergarten with some really confused feelings about that, about why are they doing this? And this isn't, you know, you shouldn't do this and pretend this is an eagle feather. Like, they gave her blue construction paper and a brown headband to construct to put a feather. And I don't think she articulated anything to her teacher, but she had a hard time with it. And my favorite saying so far that I've heard last year and again this year about Halloween is that Native people and Native children have been told now for the last 500 years that they can't be Native American. But then you start telling other people that it's not okay for them to dress up as Native Americans, and they're losing their minds. You know, the just the audacity of it just blows me away every single year.
Hey, listening to a little old school Tribe Called Red. Tonight, Hallucination down at the Cedar Cultural Center. I'll be there hanging with the daughters and stuff. But good segment there. Always, you know, our clothes are not a costume like Kathleen just put up on our Facebook. Agree 100%. I'm kind of grooving here. Why don't we just listen to some old school, some old school. Old school Tribe Called.
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
Now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Victor's 1959 Cafe on Grand Avenue is a little piece of Cuba right in South Minneapolis. All of your Cuban favorites are there, like the mango pancakes, sandwich cubano, eggs Havana, Cuban pork barbecue sandwich, and more. Victor's has their dining room open for seating with no reservations required. Plus, they still do takeout and delivery. So have a taste of authentic Cuban cuisine at Victor's 1959 Cafe, located off of 38th and Grand in South Minneapolis. More at victors1959cafe.com.
Wake up with your favorite sexy liberal, me, Stephanie Miller, every weekday morning from 8 to 11 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Patrick here for my cleaning and floor replacement heroes at Zero Res. There are hundreds of reasons to call my friends at Zero Res, but did you know they specialize in flooring replacement too? It just makes total sense. As much as they want to save every carpet and floor they service, there does come a time when replacement is the best option. And lucky for you, nobody knows carpet and flooring more than the experts at Zero Res. Z Floors by Zero Res partnered with the leading carpet and flooring manufacturers to offer custom solutions for any budget and lifestyle. Choose from top-of-the-line products guaranteed to be stain and leak-proof to luxury patterns and textures that feel like silk. Whether you're considering carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, or tile, Z Floors by Zero Res will bring their mobile showroom to you for a free in-home consultation. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res New Floors experience at www.z-floors.com. That's z-floors.com.
Ryan here with locally owned Snap Construction. Hey, too much snapping. I have an important message. Roofing, siding, insulation, and window material rates have come down considerably. Production is up. Best of all, there is still time to lock in one of the many great city, state, and federal home fix-up loans with rates as low as 0%. Some cities are even offering no repayment until you sell or refi. We don't expect these programs to last much longer. Snap to it and set up your no-obligation inspection quote for your roofing, siding, windows, or insulation job today. Your Snap Construction remodel expert can lay out all the options for your roofing, siding, window, insulation project, along with all rebates, incentives, and federal, state, and city financing programs that you qualify for. Call Snap Construction today, home of the Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. For over the last decade, we are arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, insulation contract in the Twin Cities. Don't take our word for it. Google us. SnapConstruction.com, 612-333-SNAP.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Showers and thunderstorms will continue overnight with a low of 40. Then clouds give way to sun on Thursday with a high of 51. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has been helping find a place for fire in people's lives for over 45 years. Check them out at woodlandstoves.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is for you. Go for it, Ogama.
Hi, Wendy.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition. I'm so sorry I didn't see you pop in there. Hi.
No, that's okay. We could have said it in unison, but maybe next time. All right.
I think you were. You guys just panicked. It was beautiful. Hey, again, this portion is brought to you by, and we have Solar Bear here with the Solar News. And welcome, Wendy. And welcome, the man, Robert Blake. Welcome, Robert. What's happening here?
Hey, how's it going, Robert?
Doing good. Doing good. Going to see A Tribe Called Red tonight at the Cedars. So I'm going to be chilling like a villain with the daughters.
That sounds so much fun. I wish I could go.
Oh, you could go.
I got homework.
I was afraid you were going to say that. That's why.
Homework tonight, Rod.
That's why when I checked you out, you were at the library, right?
I was at the library. Yeah, it's never over for my. I didn't realize that, and trying to get an MBA would be so difficult.
I always thought that was just a college or just a basketball league. I didn't know it was a thing at school.
Right? I know. I that's what I'm saying. But hey, Robert, I got a really cool story here, and I'm sure you've seen it through my Facebook feed. Mm-hmm. But Did you know that Native American land has 4.2 times the U.S. utility scale potential of energy, right, than what we're using right now, okay? So tribal lands have 4.2 more times the power opportunity to create energy on their own land. And this comes about 17.6 terawatts of energy. That's crazy to think about that. And then to think about the fact that Native people face energy insecurity, like energy poverty is real. You know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And it's mind blowing.
And you know, I've been able to talk to some of these think tanks in Washington, and the Electric Power Research Institute is one of them. And I've been bringing this stuff up to them because we need to start doing some research into creating utilities, creating tribal, you know, creating tribal energy resources for, you know, energy resources for tribal nations. And because, you know, when they had the Green Deal or when they had the New Deal with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he created all these co-ops and all these electric utilities, right? Well, I think with this new Green Deal, Robert, we really need to think about creating, you know, tribal utilities, and so we can have a say at the table. You know what I mean? Like, we can have, like, you know, we could be a part of the discussion. And not only that, though, the amount of money and revenue this will bring into our tribal nations is just going to be astronomical. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, Bob, we always talk about, and I like to bring it up every once in a while, and I don't think we have, is that we're involved, a lot of tribes are involved in gaming, and that's how much business, but energy is another amount of business. You always say that. Go ahead and say that again. I don't want to misquote you.
Yeah. Gaming is a $1 billion industry, and energy is a $1 trillion industry. We are in the wrong business, Native people. We need to be in the energy game. And it's just been, you know, I just want to let you guys know that, you know, like, it's been so exciting to see all the tribal nations and tribal people that are getting involved with renewable energy. You know, I've been asked to go out and speak out in California, out in Berkeley, and the Seminole tribe wants me to come out there to speak. And, you know, and then also working with this think tank out of Washington. So, you know, and yes, you know, and then this last week I was at the Minnesota Solar Energy Industry Association, and I'm pushing to make a really pull into working with tribes, you know, and also the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. So, guys, I'm really pulling on my end to really, like, you know, advocate for Native people, and because I really firmly believe that this is really important to not only tribal nations and their economic security, but also like their health security. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. like this is so important, like just to the planet, to the environment, and just to like our communities as a whole. You know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's always, you know, people, I just want to back up for a second too, because people really don't know, for instance, why we have other businesses, why we are sovereign, and it's to take care of our people, and it always has been in a good way, Robert. And I think, and I know, going to energy, and especially way things are changing, and also with the grants and the monies out there to make it happen, that our nations need to really do that for the, not only, you know, we talk about the next seven generations, but we need to take care of our people today.
Yeah, and that's why I'm really stressing this to tribes right now, especially with this Build Back Better money, this American Recovery Plan money, you know, to really think about, you know, tribal, you know, to really think about energy sovereignty, and to think about what that means, and how we can go ahead and really help, you know, our communities move in this direction. And so that's my big challenge to Native country, is to, with this American Recovery Plan money, this is a lot of money. So over $300 million per tribe coming, probably, to really think about that and how you want to spend that. And I hope that they invest a lot into energy sovereignty. And Robert, as a matter of fact, there's the next story, right? 18.6 million households, okay, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, Nevada. This is how much solar potential we have. We can power all those homes in all those states, Robert, with just the sun. Isn't that crazy to think about that? That is nuts.
You know, when we were kids, they talked about that only in theory, and now it's happening, and now, like everything else, when you go into, I remember when we were kids, well, I'm older than you, Robert, but remember Wendy probably remembers this, there was calculators this big, and they were like $150, and then by the time, you have a calculator on a pen now for free. So the technology, the longer it gets around, like we talk about how the batteries are getting cheaper, how everything's getting cheaper, and this is the way we have to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what's really interesting about that, Robert, when you say that, is like we had electric vehicles back in like 1920, right? Like, just these industries have got such a hold on our government and our politicians, you know. I also put a story through my Facebook feed that, you know, said about how tribal nations and their governing practices are a lot better than the states and the cities and the federal government and how they're acting.
Some
shocking, totally shocking over here.
I was going to say some tribes.
Yeah. And like you said, it's all a case by case situation, but I thought that was really interesting for, like, I think it was Harvard that did the study. I don't remember, but I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, it really does show, like, how, like, you know, we're progressing, you know. I really do believe that Native nations are the last defense to this democracy. I believe that the framers of the Constitution left tribal nations sovereign for this very reason, because they knew that a corporate oligarchy one day was going to try and take over this government. And that's why tribal nations are there. I mean, and Robert, you see them being attacked by the government right now. And what was that? Neil Gorsuch that ruled on that case down in Oklahoma, you know, who said that the treaties are the supreme law of the land. And he's a Trump appointee, Robert.
That's right. That's right. Did you want have anything to say, Ogama?
No, just that ruling shocked me, being the Trump appointee. But it's true. Treaties are the supreme law of the land. They were given on behalf of the United States between tribal nations, which were seen as essentially sovereign nations or other countries. And if the United States is going to honor its treaties with other nations, including Canada, or anywhere else, they really need to take a good hard look in the mirror and honor these treaties that were made with tribal nations and give us a seat at the table. We know what we're talking about. We know how to take care of the planet. We survived here for thousands of years taking care of the planet, and we're fighting to be able to just continue to do that.
So, Bob, we got 2 minutes left. You got another story to end the day with, a good one?
Yeah, so this one's coming out of Australia, and the Aussies are doing incredible stuff down there, Robert. Obviously, you've seen the wildfires down there. You've seen people that were, like, jumping in boats in the water and everything. Well, these people are, like, taking it to another level down there, Robert. And they're basically saying right now that we need to build massive amounts of solar to get to net zero. They're not even going to mess around anymore. They're just going to start building massive amounts of solar everywhere and anywhere. And I think that is such a brilliant idea, because the cost of solar is coming down so dramatically that it's really cheaper than natural gas right now. And the technology keeps on getting better. I think that the Aussies are on the right track, Robert.
Wow. Yeah. That, and we have to follow and not be so arrogant. These politicians here are so arrogant when it comes to following a good thing, whether it's universal health care or anything like that. We have to really look and see what's going on. And I'm going to put this on because I'm going to listen to Tribe Called Red tonight. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for stopping in. As always, keep up the great work. Look on YouTube for Robert's interview on Good Morning America that happened last week. But so awesome. And have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Our DNA
Thanks, guys. That's the Solar News with the Solar Bear.
The people, the people, the people. The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope, the elephant, the deer, the mineral, the iron, the copper, the coltan, the rubber, the coffee, the cotton, the sugar. The people, the people, the people. The germ traveled faster than the bullet. They harvest the mountainside, protect the crops, herd the cattle. The people, the people, the people, the people, the people. The women and children were separated from the men. They are divided as according to the regional filters of their minds. The violence of arrogance crawls into the air, nestles into the geospatial cortex. We are not a conquered people.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, Wendy, welcome out there in New York City, all bougie and stuff. Tell us what's going on and introduce yourself. It's been a while.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. And as always, Curtis, thank you. Yes, I am in New York. I'm on Long Island in a town called Long Beach. Hence, I am very close to the ocean right now. It was a beautiful day. I don't know if it hit 80, but it was close to it, and it was a sunny day, so everybody was out and about. And before I get to my segment, I just wanted to go back and talk about what Bob Blake was saying about heating sovereignty or energy sovereignty. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I grew up with a single mom, and it was often really hard a lot of times for her to heat the house. You know, she really wanted to keep our house. She didn't want to sell it. It was hard for her to heat the house. So it was like, you know, we needed food, right, before we needed heat. So sometimes we would, my sister and I, we thought it was fun when we were kids, but we would actually sleep in the living room sometimes with a kerosene heater going. I know that's not the safest thing to do, but that's what we did. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that because of that, Robert, I don't know if you know this or not, but in our XL Energy bill, we give a little extra money every month. And that money goes towards families that have a hard time paying their energy bills. So if anybody's interested in helping out other families, and it could be as little as $2 a month, $2, $3, $5, $20, whatever you have, you just put it extra towards your XL energy bill, and they take all that money, and it helps other families who may have help. And the winter's coming, so a lot of people are going to be turning on their heat soon. So,
I never see the bills, so that's why we're still married. You take care of the bills.
Exactly. But Robert, you actually told me about this article that I want to talk about, and it's from Ottawa News in Canada. On the brink of extinction, Ojibwe spirit horses find a new home in Ottawa. And this was actually just dated October 17th, 2021. And it's an Ojibwe spirit horse story. They were almost driven to extinction in the early 1970s. They were considered pests as farms encroached on the grazing lands in southwestern Ontario. So these little horses were mostly rounded up. They were sold off, with many destined to slaughterhouses. The small horses were indigenous to Canada long before the Mustang evolved from Spanish horses. Now, they are little small horses, which I thought was really cute. And they said that they run in height from 12 hands high to 14.2 hands high. And I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look that up. And hands high means one hand is equal to 4 inches. So they would measure the horse from the highest part of the shoulder on the top and measure your hand down. It's kind of an old-fashioned way to measure a horse, but that's what they do. And it goes, you count your hands from the top of the horse's shoulder all the way down to the bottom of the feet. And these horses run between 12 hands high and 14 0.2 hands high. But to put things in perspective, a pony is considered anything smaller than 14.2 hands high, and a horse is anything greater than 14.2 hands high. So they're just a smaller horse, and as you can see in the pictures, most of the people are taller than the horses, so they're nice little horses. According to the Ojibwe Horse Society, they were in North America thousands of years prior to European contact. Four of these unique and rare animals now have a home in Ottawa at the Matahoke Farm, formerly the Lone Star Ranch at 4420 West Hunt Club Road in Ottawa. The farm is run by Indigenous Experiences, which is an event company specializing in showcasing Indigenous culture and sharing it with the wider community. Trina Mathers, the executive director of Indigenous Experiences, said the horses run one of the driving factors for them to relocate to a farm, and they have been hit with all the visitors. So people come and they visit this farm and see these horses. We opened yesterday in a complete downpour and still had a full house of people, Mather said. We had so much going on here. We really tried to build the event around that kind of fall farmers market, but from an Indigenous perspective. And these little, I'm going to bring up a different article also that I found about these horses. And we really need to keep these horses around. It kind of reminded me of the Onaquai horses in Utah that they're rounding up right now so that cattle ranchers can bring their cattle. And they're getting rid of the wild horses that we really need to keep, because people really love to come and see these horses. And honestly, if you think about the money that the horses bring in, they really make a lot more money because people come and they spend money at the hotels and they want to come and see these horses. But the wild Mustangs of American West are embedded in our imagination. Mustang horses have been the subject of many movies, from Spirit, Stallion of Cimarron, to The Mustang and dozens in between. Horse lovers of all ages have reveled in the majestic beauty of these wild horses roaming the American plains. But did you know that Canada has its own wild horses, and this is what it was known as the Ojibwe horse? These small horses bred standards, put them between the 12 HH to 14.2 HH, were indigenous to Canada long before the Mustang evolved from the Spanish horses. In fact, the Ojibwe horses were in North America by the thousands prior to European contact. According to the Ojibwe Horse Society, DNA evidence shows they are different from European introduced horses breeds in distinctive ways that made them an integral and harmonious part of the North American boreal forest. The testimony of indigenous elders affirms that they had a spiritual and working relationship with the Ojibwe horse throughout time. And there's lots of pictures of them, but sadly, like the buffalo, the Ojibwe spirit horses were hunted and persecuted into extinction during colonization, when the wild herds went from thousands of animals just to four mares in 1977. So there was thousands of them, and it went down to four. The four mares, they were named Lillian, Bishke, Darkface, and Diamond, found on an island of Lac La Lacroix in northern Ontario. The site states that the Canadian health officials considered the mares to be a health risk and made plans to destroy them. But four Indigenous men named Fred, Wally, and Walter, and Omar somehow rounded up the mares and put them on a trailer, taking them to Minnesota. This was known as the heist across the ice. The mares were put into breeding programs, and today there are approximately 200 Ojibwe spirit horses, descendants from the surviving mares. The Ojibwe horses are currently listed as critically endangered on Canada's conservation list. And today you could also see the Ojibwe horse at TJ Stables.
Okay. All right, Wendy. We're out.